Good morning. Welcome to the Faith Debate on News Radio 930 WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. Find us online at WFMD.com, also at householdoffaithinchrist.com. Last week, we were talking about the Olympics, and we had a couple of things left that we didn't get to last week, so we're going to bring those up this week. And 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the aftermath of the Trump assassination, and there was one thing in particular I wanted to bring up, and we never got there, so we'll bring that up, and then we'll switch gears and get into what the scheduled topic for today was going to be. And here to do that with us is Elijah Dirksen. He's a seminary student pursuing his Master's of Divinity. That's right, Master of Divinity. And Imran Razvi, he's the master of his own domain. He is the pastor of the church that meets at Imran's house, and he's also the founder of Conquered by Love Ministries, online at conqueredbylove.org. And so, well, let's pick up where we left off last week with the Olympics, because there was more. We talked about the whole Last Supper thing, the boxing fiasco, the accusations of the Christian church being toothless and needing to be tougher and be more culturally engaged and that sort of thing. I even jokingly talked about the blackout, which is funny because in one video of the blackout, in the background, you can see a Christian structure fully illuminated while the city surrounding it is in the dark. So that just adds more grist for the mill on that one. But you were mentioning as we were wrapping up last week's show, Imran, that there's so much more about the globalist, anti-God, anti-Bible agenda that was pushed during the Olympics. You want to talk about what some of those things were?
I don't remember what we were
talking about. Well, one had to do with the food.
Yeah, the food, right. So these are athletes, right? They need high protein. They need meat to be able to compete and to be at the top level. And they get there to the Olympic Village, and it's vegan food. In fact, they passed a law specifically that they're not allowed to source any eggs from outside of France, and somehow they didn't have enough eggs. I would think France had enough eggs for these athletes, but they didn't have enough eggs. So these athletes are expected to compete at their peak level on vegetables. And the rich countries brought their own chefs and food in. You know, Australia, England, U.S. But what about these other countries that didn't have the resources and funds to be able to support their athletes? I think it's just pushing their agenda on that. And then they got rid of all the AC units. You know, if you want an AC, if you want to be in the heat, turn the AC off. But why push your agenda on other people?
Yeah, so the United States apparently shipped over their own air conditioning units so the American athletes could have air conditioning.
Same with Australia.
I mean, I've never been to France, much less in the summer, but I can't imagine their climate is a whole lot different in Paris than it is around here.
It's almost 100 degrees.
So that's brutal.
Yeah. Well, think about it. I would say France is a godless nation, especially based on their performance at the opening ceremonies. So what do you do when you don't have God? Well, the next best thing is nature. Nature sustains us. It's idolatry. You're worshiping this god of nature, and you do it to the detriment of these people.
So they're proselytizing.
Yeah.
But ironically, they want to worship. Oh, go ahead.
What happens when you worship? You give up of yourselves. You give things up to the thing that you worship. And right now you worship the climate, you worship the government, all these things. They're idols.
And ironically, it's just not working. Because, I mean, he had triathletes retching after swimming in toxic soup that they call...
Maybe they could have fix that first.
You know, the river that runs through the city is like, you know, they got like fish with four heads and 17 eyes swimming around.
But that's just it. It's a contradiction. You virtue signal in one area, but then the other areas are just, they fall to pieces because there's no foundation for it. There's no foundation for idolatry.
Now, if you try to research the facts that we're throwing out here, you might not have success because things being retconned left and right. And 2 weeks ago, you're talking about the attempt on Donald Trump's life in Pennsylvania, which, by the way, you almost want to be able to say it was just gross incompetence. But nobody's that grossly incompetent. No. I mean, come on. But if you try to look into it and you start to go into the search engines and you type in assassination attempt of... You can put in the T and the R and the U, and in my case, the M and the P, and still not get any, because, you know, it starts to auto-populate and it suggests what you're looking for. Nothing.
What shows up is the assassination attempt on Truman, which was over, 70 years ago?
Oh, the incredibly famous Truman assassination attempt that we all think about and talk about first, right? Yeah, I mean, Lincoln's assassination would come up, Kennedy's, Ford. I mean, you know, and Trump has had other assassination attempts on his life, by the way, that we don't hear a whole lot about. During his first presidency, they snuffed out some stuff before it got as bad as what happened in Pennsylvania. But they're censoring all of this stuff in order to mask the fact that their agenda and their nature worship isn't working, I guess.
Well, they don't want people focusing on it because it's so obvious for anybody that looks at any, not even deep evidence, that this was a hit by the Biden administration, by the Justice Department, or by somebody, because they were told to stand down there 26 minutes. I mean, at this stage in day and time, we might already pass that. They might have already come to that. But when we're recording this, it's still everything's being hidden and denied.
It doesn't even need to be that. It just, the assassination attempt made Trump look good. It made him look strong and powerful. That image of him standing up after the attempt.
Yeah,
that's for about that should go on Time Magazine, and we should remember that for hundreds of years.
It was remembered for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, well, because the media covered it up. And in fact, the media had petitioned Congress to make that photo illegal because it was may cause violence, and the Associated Press pulled it and said that their media stations were not allowed to use it for a while. I mean, the iconic picture like that, and that's what they did. So the media actually petitioned the Congress to make it banned.
Now, in fairness, it's not like Donald went out of his way and his talking heads that are on his team went out of their way to draw a lot of attention to it in the aftermath. They got bogged down in a whole bunch of nonsense. It has nothing to do with his what should be his talking points. And
par for the course for Trump.
He's a loose cannon for sure. He's all over the place. Every once in a while that cannonball hits the target, but sometimes it's a little off target.
I'm going to pull it back to idolatry. This is idolatry of the state, idolatry of power. And guess what gets sacrificed when you worship power and when you worship the authority that the government gives? Well, let's throw truth on there. No one needs truth. We can sacrifice that to our God of power.
Now, while all of this is going on that we're talking about, you know, the Trump assassination attempt, the Olympics nonsense, followed by more Olympics nonsense, there's it almost got lost in the shuffle in large measure, it seems to me. Bibi Netanyahu comes to the United States to address Congress. And while he's here, there's all these protests and the defacing of monuments and stuff, and they're spray painting on them, it's basically death to the Jew kind of rhetoric.
But it's mostly peaceful because the Democrats, they're mostly peaceful. They don't mean any harm.
I mean, it's pro-Hamas. This isn't like speculation. They're spray painting. Hamas is coming, right? We're all about Hamas, and Hamas is all about death to the Jew. And also lost in the shuffle on all of this is, you know, the mastermind of 9/11 cops a plea deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't even have to face the death penalty, which would be the biblical prescription.
Which I guess Biden knew nothing about until they said, it's a done deal.
Yeah, well, that's believable. Yeah,
his entire administration. Either he's lying or he's the most incompetent president ever.
Well, I've said this before, maybe even on this show. So if I'm being repetitive, I apologize. But for years, I mean, before he was even vice president, you know, when I started paying attention to politics was in the 70s. When I started paying attention to the politics seriously was in the 80s. And so my whole life, Joe Biden's been in the public eye. And for my money, until recent years, Joe Biden was the least intelligent senator in the United States.
And he was known for being a liar, so much so that Robin Williams did a whole skit on him being a liar.
He was never a smart guy. He had to plagiarize and lie and cover his tracks because he couldn't get by on his own merits. He was just dumb as a box of rocks, right? So that's Joe Biden. I think he's only been superseded in stupidity by his number two.
Stupidity loves company.
I mean, I will challenge anybody. I would like to see proof that she actually passed the bar. I think she either slept with somebody that passed the bar for her or did something. There's no way somebody this stupid, this dumb, that can't put a sentence together could pass the bar. The bar is not an easy thing. Elijah here passed the bar. My son Daniel passed the bar. It's not that easy to pass. I mean, Ben Shapiro got on the show and said, it was easy to pass. Not for most people, it's not easy to pass. I don't know what he's talking about.
Well, it's Ben Shapiro we're talking about.
Yeah, so he's a really smart dude. I understand that. It was easy for him. But for most people, and for somebody that talks like Kamala, there's no way she passed.
And the other thing is, you know, Ben, he is smart. So don't get me wrong. Ben is a very, very smart guy. But he's also somebody that wants to signal to the world how smart he is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he,
which is annoying a little bit.
He might have been sweating his brains out during that test. But then when it's over, he's like, oh, that was a piece of cake. That was easy, because that's how smart I am. Right. So, you know, I take that with a grain of salt, considering the source. So some people have, we're pivoting now into the Kamala Harris thing. Some people have talked about Kamala being a DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion hire by the Biden administration. They chose her merely because she's a woman who has non-white skin, right? Well, she's a woman of color.
Biden said that on several occasions, that he is going to find a woman of color to be his running mate.
Yep.
Not about any other qualifications.
So then people push back and say, oh, so you're saying that you know, she's a DEI hire? Now, help me understand, is DEI a good thing or not?
Absolutely not. In fact, most of the top companies have already started getting rid of the DEI programs.
But the leftists want to say that it's a good thing. Right,
I think it is swinging back now, which is why they're saying, oh, she's not a DEI hire now, because obviously 2020 that
was okay to be a DEI hire.
They that was out and proud. That was what they wanted. They wanted to know, hey, I have this black woman or this Indian American woman as my vice president.
And this has infected the church. This was a big part of the whole woke church, not the fight that was going on and still continues to this day. You know, Matt Chandler is a relatively well-known name in Christian circles, particularly Protestant Reformed circles. He was a part of the Young, Restless, and Reformed movement of like 20 years ago or whatever. And so he made a big name for himself. He's got a rather large church in the Dallas area. And, you know, a lot of his sermons have been very popular in podcasts over the years and that sort of thing. He was the up-and-comer. He was going to be the next John MacArthur, you know what I mean? Next R.C. Sproul, that sort of thing. What a disappointment that generation of Reformed guys have turned out to be. Anyway, about 5-6 years ago, at a big major conference, Matt Chandler stands up and says, look, the church has to do better. And so, like, I tell my people, my team, you know, when we're bringing in associate pastors, assistant pastors and stuff, I said, bring me the candidates, you know, and if one guy's, you know, basically, if the one guy is white and he's an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10, and another guy, he's a 7, but he's black, you know, we're going to take the 7. Now, if he's a 6, we don't want to take the 6 because then that would basically seem like, you know, we're not playing fair and it would look bad. It would seem like he's a token hire. But if he's a 7, that's close enough. It's still a token hire. So this whole DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion thing, and last thing, we have a diversity, equity, and inclusion officer in the city of Frederick. Was hired back in 2020. And I said at the time, there's a tape of it somewhere, I said at the time, I said, look, whether or not Frederick City has a problem with hiring and firing people who aren't, you know, Northern European, whether or not that's a problem or not, this guy is going to find that problem because he's been hired to do exactly that. And if he doesn't find that problem, he's out of a job. And sure enough, he's found all sorts of evidence of this sort
of
a problem. Mm. So it's not biblical, you're saying. DEI.
Yeah, the main reason why DEI is wrong is the same reason why racism is wrong. We all come from the same beginning, Adam and Eve. So there's no inherent...
More recently, Noah.
But there's no more value to one person than there is to another based on their race, their ethnicity. Now, with racism, the trend is to look at it badly and because of your race. But with DEI, and I would still consider it racism because it's making a value determination based on someone's ethnicity, it's just doing that but in a positive way. This race is more valuable than the others, and so we want more of this race.
Yeah, it's. I think we should rearrange the letters. It should be, you know, DIE. It's about
die.
Yeah, it's about death. It's about killing a culture, killing things off, and you know, it's an.
Well, that is actually what you said is actually true. They're trying to kill the successful quote-unquote white culture of being on time, getting your answers right, being respectful, being honorable. They're trying to kill all that. And because, you know, those things that said these are all racist, those are things that, the values that were racist.
You sound like an Oreo right now, Imran, because you're a person of color, and yet you're talking like a white man.
And, you know, I've had people be racist towards me, because I am brown, right? But that doesn't change what is right and what is wrong. Not if somebody wants to be an idiot, they're an idiot. They want to be racist, yeah, they're an idiot, they're racist. But that doesn't mean that the system is racist. In fact, I had that same problem with the Colonial Life. They took an agency away from me because I stood up and said, no, there's not systemic racism. And some, you know, lady over there who was black and decided, oh, he doesn't believe in systemic racism, we can't hire him. So they actually canceled my contract over that. So it's just, they're so touchy about it. That's ridiculous. This is, I mean, I would venture to say that, yes, this country was much more racist 100 years ago. It's not so racist now, except when you try to make it racist, try to divide everybody up and go after each other. And that DEI does that. It's a death to the culture of success, and that's what they're trying to kill.
And this sinful ethnocentrism, because I don't like using the word racism, because there's mm-hmm. biologically speaking, there's one human race. If you want to add the spiritual component, there are two races. But we've talked about that before in the faith debate. But it takes on these bizarre forms. Because a controversy this election cycle now is whether or not Kamala Harris, you know, is black or Asian
Indian.
Or Indian. And apparently there's all sorts of stuff on tape. You know, Trump got in trouble for saying something about it, but there's a whole bunch of tape that's come out that, you know, Kamala is basically bragging and talking up how she's the first Indian woman who's done this and the first Indian woman who's done that. And even calling yourself an Indian woman is offensive, right? Because, you know, because it's like calling somebody Mexican is right? You heard that? There's a comedian waiting in the wings to come out on the stage, and he's a Mexican comedian. And the guy introduced him and said, now, my good friend, you know, funniest Mexican in the world, blah, blah, blah. And he comes off the stage, and the Mexican guy goes out, and the MC comes off the stage, and behind there's a guy waiting for him. Like, his face is ashen. He's, like, panicking. You can't say that. You can't say what? You can't call him a Mexican. Well, he's from Mexico. He's a Mexican. That's racist. You can't call him a Mexican. You can't call Kamala an Indian. That's racist, right? You can't call people what they are. But it's interesting, you know. Well, and then Native American. They have the other senator from Massachusetts.
They put so much value in things that don't really matter.
She wants to call herself a different kind of an Indian.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
well, you get value points for what color your skin is, yeah, and you're elevated to a higher position because of that particular thing that you had no control over. That doesn't make you a better or worse person.
So I want to put a plug in here, right here. Okay, so all of you guys listening, whenever you go fill out any government forms that ask for race or ethnicity or whatever, make your own box and fill in human. I've been doing that for decades. I've had the MVA get very mad at me and said, we don't have a place for this, we can't do this. Said, well, this is against my religion. It's one race, it's human race, and if you make me do anything else, I will sue you. And they backed down. They actually put human. They typed in human on the form, okay? at least it said they did. I couldn't see their computer. But I've done that on the passports. I've done that on every place I can. I always make my own box and put in human. And anybody that challenges me, I always come back to it. That's against my religion. So I would challenge you guys to do that. And that's a good place to start. At least it's someplace, something we can do.
Now, that doesn't sound very toothless, so you must not be a real Christian. So all the stuff we're talking about, the DEI stuff, somebody's an Indian or a Mexican or what have you, or, you know, forcing the Olympian athletes to eat vegan food and go without air conditioning, that all strikes us as very strange, going completely against any sort of common sense, very weird. And Kamala has been called weird for as long as she's been in public office.
Until they want to call J.D. Vance.
And yet, yeah. Talk about projection.
See, the thing is, they're true. They're right, though. Family values, Christian values, are weird now. They want to make anything that is right to be weird. Not right wing. I'm just talking about right and good and natural and godly to be weird. Because they don't want that. They want all the abominations to be natural, to be ready, and to be wholesome. They want the wholesome stuff that is Christ-centered to be weird. And I don't really know J.D. Vance's Christianity or not, because he's married to a Hindu, and they had a Hindu prayer at the Republican National Convention, which was kind of really gagging there.
Yeah.
But so I don't know what he comes from. I don't think
he converted to Roman Catholicism. Yeah. You know, as an adult.
Yeah.
I
don't think either him or Trump are saved. I am extremely disappointed with the Republican platform. But I understand what they're doing.
Wait till you see the white of their eyes, because hold your fire. That's going to be the main topic for next week.
But you know why they did that, though? They did that because they know that all these crazy Christians have nobody else to vote for. They're not going to go anywhere. So now they can go after the independents and Democrats by saying, oh, we're pro-choice. And come on over to our side. Vote for us. That's all it is. It's all about power. It's just so sickening.
But it's also about confusion and flipping ethics. I do think that they're demonic. And demons want to flip and choose what's evil over what's good. Make what's evil normal and what's good weird.
Yeah, so whatever is
strange.
Biblical values is now weird.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay to being weird. But I want it to be more normal, and I want my friends and associates and neighbors to understand this is the real normal. What they're saying is not.
And make no mistake, this is a spiritual battle. This isn't a battle with Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. They're not masterminds. It's not even the establishment behind them. It's the demons that are working through these people.
And I know I have people, you know, that I've known for years, and so I'm still connected with them on social media. I used to work with them in other radio markets and that sort of thing. And, you know, they would count me as a friend. I'd count them as a friend. But, man, they don't get it. And I think it's because they can't get it, right? The gospel is a mystery. The definition of the biblical definition of a mystery is it's impossible. It's unfathomable for the human mind without God opening your eyes to see. It's impossible to understand without God making it clear to you. So they can't see it. But it's still frustrating that they can't see it. You know, we're talking a lot of politics today, for example, even the last couple of weeks. You don't understand, everything's theology.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? And so you can say it's about what's right versus left, right versus wrong. There's some truth to that. And this whole Marxist ideology, this leftist ideology, it's, what do you say, demonic or
absolutely
or,
demonic?
It really is. Now, why do you say so? I agree with you, but why do you say so?
Because it espouses those ideals that
are anti-Christ.
Our anti-Christ ideals.
I want to bring up, I had my daughter go to Portugal for a study for surgery for medical school, and it was going to be good on a resume. So you went there for 3 weeks, and there were students mostly from America, because you can't do that here in America because patients have rights. In Portugal, they don't. So they don't have to get permission to have students watch and do that. But she was so frustrated. All these super smart kids that are in pre-med, there was a couple Christians there, a couple of Muslim. There was a Muslim there. Yet all of them were pro-choice, pro-transgender, pro-evil. And they call themselves Christian and Muslim. And I'm like, what's wrong? It's because the school system has totally corrupted them. They have absolutely no idea what they're espousing. And my daughter was very put off and saying, I can't talk to them because I'm surrounded by them all day. It's just, it's so ingrained in them that they become violent if you say anything else.
And that's becoming a third rail issue, even in insider baseball talks. I was having a conversation earlier today, actually, with somebody, today as we record, not today as this broadcast. And a lot of the same kinds of cultural top-of-mind issues we're talking about, full agreement. We're, you know, preaching to the choir. We're just, you know, scratching each other's itches kind of thing. And then I mentioned the schools. And I said, you know, the problem is at this stage of the game, the government-run schools are basically burning buildings. Ideologically, we're sending our children into burning buildings day after day after day. And at that point, I could tell I lost him. He's like, it's a bridge too far, because he sent his kids to public school. We don't want to own our own mistakes and our own.
Yeah, but even all these homeschool parents are sending their kids to colleges that are totally corrupt and totally corrupting them, and they wonder why their kids are changing. They're becoming, more like the culture and less godly.
But I want to give one more reason why I think it's demonic. It's because the policies that come out of it aren't good for people. They're not interested in the self-interest of the preservation of the human race. Transgenderism, homosexuality, abortion, all these things don't provide for the next generation.
Even though they're so-called
self-mutilation,
the things that Christians would point to and say, well, yeah, but they do care about the poor. No, by stealing from somebody to have equity, quote-unquote equity, so that it's an even playing field. You steal from one to give to the other.
And it always ends up worse for the poor.
That's demonic.
Yeah, and again, they're not really giving up their money. They want to take other people's money and give it to the poor.
Yeah.
All of these policies hate people. And it can only be demonic. A regular person couldn't have come up with an idea that's worse for humanity.
Yeah, it's not an accident that I think it's something like 90% of the abortion clinics are in brown communities, mostly black and some Hispanic communities. That's not an accident. It's not an accident that the marriage rate among the African-American population of this country has plunged since the advent of the Great Society in the 1960s.
Close to 20% only.
And it was like 80% or 90% back in 1960. I mean, it's like polar opposites flipped.
And during that time, you could walk in the black neighborhood without any fear of anything because both mother and father were there, and it was safe neighborhoods.
And the percentage of young people, the children who were growing up in a family led by a mother and a father, was almost all of them. Now it's almost none of them.
Add on to the destruction of the traditional family. Traditional family is the best way to raise kids. I think there's plenty of studies that show that, but that's the main target.
And it's not that people on the political right get everything correct. In fact, we're going to set our sights there next week. But the political left, I'm not exaggerating. They get every single issue wrong.
It can't be an
opposite of the truth.
Every single one. There's not one.
No.
So what does that tell you? That sounds demonic to me. I'm going to amen that one, Elijah. So that was the I'm amening Elijah Dirksen. He's a seminary student who's pursuing his MDiv. Imran Razvi on the show again this week. He pastors the church that meets at Imran's house. Also is the founder of Conquered by Love Ministries. ConqueredByLove.org is their website. I'm Troy Skinner. You can find me at WFMD.com and also at HouseholdOfFaithInChrist.com. Yeah, as promised, next week, we're going to set our sights on the right, or are they even right anymore? The GOP and all that nonsense. That's our focus on next week's Faith Debate. We'll get started in about, let's see, let me check my watch. Yep, 167 and a half hours from right about now. God bless.